Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Pumped because a very important ministry that is not just statewide but national at this point is going to be presenting to you today. Joe Butler is coming from the Ability Tree, and yeah, Micah is over there. He's super excited about that too. Whoa! Hey, Micah, come on up. It's okay. You can join us if you want to. It's not going to bother me at all. But Micah and the Ability Tree is all about doing ministry to kids with disabilities and ministry to families with disabilities. And Micah is Exhibit A for that. And Micah, we're so blessed to partner with you.
Yeah, buddy. I love you, buddy.
We're blessed to partner with you. We're blessed to partner with you, buddy, and we're blessed with all the ministry that Ability Tree does. And before Joe Butler comes this morning, check out this video.
Thank you, guys. So good to be with you. The assembly in Cabot. Pastor Greg always says this was the original one because our home church in Salem Springs is the assembly, but it was a copy of you guys. So, but so good to be here. So good to see so many people. We came in yesterday afternoon. We got to see Ability Tree Cabot in action last night. There were 15 kids that you guys were serving, providing rest, well, providing recreation for them, but rest for their parents. You know, families like ours who are impacted by disability, we need rest. And it's not as easy as calling the next door neighbor or the teenager and saying, hey, can you watch my child? Because of their special needs, we need people who know them and understand them and love them and care for them and have a place for them. And so thank you for serving your community so well, and just excited to see what God's going to do with that. When Pastor Greg asked me to speak, I said, are you speaking on a topic series? He said, yeah, we're doing Because People Matter to God. And I said, perfect, because people with disabilities matter to God. It kind of fit right in there. And it's awesome to hear about Kingdom Builders and where you guys are at, because you know, the Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That starts at home and then regionally and then globally. And you guys are doing that. And it's incredible when you're doing that, you're touching lives. You're sharing the gospel. You know, you may not be going, but you're allowing others like ourselves to go. And we couldn't do what we do without your support. And you guys, it's incredible because not every church is doing that. So, and when you do that, When your heart is where God's heart is, He's going to bless. He's going to bless the church. He's going to bless you. You don't do it because of that, but that's just the law of the principle of God. And so it's just incredible to see. So let me just open up in prayer, and then I'm going to share about 25 minutes with you. And Lord, we just thank you for this morning. Thank you, God, for this opportunity to be here in Cabot and to be with your people and, God, to share your word. Lord, I just pray that I would decrease and that you would increase and that, God, you would give me the words to say and you would open hearts this morning and that your word would go forth. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you guys that the need, start off with the need. As of 2019, according to the CDC, more than 10,000 people were estimated to have a disability in Lone Oak County. More than 10,000. They don't count five and under. So any child born with Down syndrome, cerebral palsy, you know, later diagnosed with autism, that's not in that under five. So it's probably a lot more than that. 822,145 adults in Arkansas have a disability. That's equal to 35%, one in three adults in Arkansas. And that varies what that disability is, but mobility, physical and intellectual or cognitive are the two highest categories out of that. 61 million Americans living with a disability, 1.2 billion worldwide, 80% of those living with disability are outside the United States. People with disabilities are often overlooked and underserved by society and the church. Jesus created people with disabilities, and he welcomes them into relationship with himself. And as the church, we should do the same. It's kind of a no-brainer when you think of it that way. And so I want to talk to you this morning about five reasons why we need to love and care for people with disabilities. I kind of stole this title from a post that the Tim Tebow Foundation did. We're a Shine On partner with the Tim Tebow Foundation, and I liked it, and I said, well, that's a good title for a message. So they only gave me 5 points. That's it. I had to fill in the rest. So number one is open your mouth for those, this is in Proverbs 31:8. Open your mouth for those who cannot speak and for the rights of those who are left without help. Open your mouth. Be right and fair in what you decide. Stand up for the rights of those who are suffering and in need. See, not being able to speak puts you at a disadvantage in this world. Imagine if you had to go a day, a week, a month, a year without speaking. And you just think about that. And you had to go to the DMV, you had to go to out to eat, you had to go to work. You know, how are you going to communicate? There's other ways to communicate non-verbally. There's talk boards, there's sign language, but just imagine the disadvantage that would put you at and the help that you would need, the support that you would need. People often don't take the time to get to know you if they can't have a verbal conversation with you. I've seen people just walk by people in wheelchairs all the time, just not knowing, maybe not out of a meanness, but just out of a misunderstanding, not knowing if they can talk or not just because they're in a wheelchair. I remember when Micah was a toddler and he started to talk. He's our second child, and our oldest is 23. And, you know, when she started to talk, we figured out she would say, like, wah-wee for water, you know. And if you're a parent, you know all the ways your kids pronounce words when they're learning to talk. But Micah would, sometimes it'd take us weeks to figure out what he was trying to say because it didn't sound anything, didn't start with the right, you know, letter, didn't sound anything like what he was trying to say, but, you know, we took time to figure out what he was saying because he was our child, and we loved him, and we wanted to communicate with him. We were out to eat at a restaurant with some friends years ago, and this has happened a few times with us, but this one couple that was with us, the husband was in a wheelchair. He had had a accident, and he was physically disabled. He was in a wheelchair, and he was sitting next to his wife, and the server came over and, you know, started asking everybody what they wanted to eat, you know, went to each person, and then went to his wife and asked her, and then she gave the order, and then she went to take his order, but she didn't ask him. She asked his wife, you know, what would he like to eat? She's like, I don't know, ask him. And, you know, he was completely fine to talk, but she just assumed that, you know, he couldn't speak. Just because he was in a wheelchair doesn't mean that he couldn't talk, doesn't mean that he didn't have abilities, likes, dislikes. or a need for relationship. And as Christians, we are to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. In this case, the 1.2 billion people around the world who are often neglected because of their inability to speak up. Number two, give justice to the weak and fatherless. Psalm 82:3 says, give justice to the weak and fatherless, maintain the rights of the afflicted and destitute. A few years ago, I went on a mission trip with my daughter, Hannah, and a small group of others to serve families with disability in Ghana, Africa. It was through Johnny and Friends Ministry, and we led a week-long camp, family camp, for about 10 families. We flew into the capital city, Accra, and we drove about 3 hours with a host church that were, I can't remember if they call them Ghanans, or I don't know what the locals are called, but they're from Ghana. And we drove about 3 hours to this place where we were in Cape Coast, where we were having the retreat. And people with disabilities in Ghana are often treated subhuman. A lot of third world countries. But the facilities that when we got to the retreat center and we set up, we got there about a day ahead of time to set up, and you know, it was dirt, you know, there wasn't paved parking lots, there was signs of asphalt here and there, but it was mostly dirt. I just remember like the sliding glass door was broken, the glass was broken coming in, the air conditioner. They had cards you had to put in to charge it, and it had so much electricity, and it would shut off in the middle of the night, and it was hot. There were bugs in the room. There were roaches. It was dirty, and, you know, you would never go on vacation and stay at a place like this in the United States, but this was a resort place in Ghana, and it was also the only place that would allow us to have this retreat for people with disabilities because of the stigma of people with disabilities in Ghana. I'll never forget the one father that I met. He was actually a stepfather, and he married a woman who had left. Her husband had divorced her because of her son. She had a five-year-old son with autism. And the father of this five-year-old son, the man was telling me in the Bible study one morning, he was sharing, me and one of the pastors over there, and these fathers met together, and this man, the biological father of this young boy, had chained him to an electric pole during a storm, hoping that he'd get electrocuted because he was told he was from the snake, from the devil. He wasn't from God, and his community, you know, excommunicated them because of their child's needs. And so the stepfather had polio when he was growing up. So he was 60 years old. He had polio. This is how he walked. His legs were about like that. And he couldn't stand up on them, so he walked on his hands. He wore like some work gloves, and he would walk on his feet and his hands. And he married this woman and took care of them. And he just told me how thankful he was to be there for that week and to have three meals a day and to be able to talk to a white person like me. And I was like, sure, you're more valuable than me. You know, you've been through much more than I have, and you matter to God. And he was just so thankful. And I saw his wife would worship. She sang on the worship team. They were Christians. They had barely anything, but she would go from like the first row up to worship, and her little boy, he couldn't walk, he would cry, and he would crawl after her, and he had PTSD. She couldn't get far away from him. He didn't really know his stepfather that well, so I just saw that throughout the week, and it just broke my heart, and hearing the story, and the day they left, they piled into this minivan that was probably 15 years old, had wheelchairs strapped to the top, the back, you know, door was open, and they, I don't know how they did, they had like a net, a huge net that went like 10 feet out. They had all the luggage in there. They had 10 families in this minivan. I should have brought a video of it because I took a video of it, but the little boy was sitting with his mom right up against the window, and we were all saying goodbye to him, and he never interacted with me, never interacted with other people during the week that I saw, but this time I was waving, and I just, the window was cracked. It was one of those windows that just cracked out a little, and I reached in, and he grabbed my finger, and he looked at me, and, you know, just prayed with him, and, but people with disabilities matter, matter to God. This is in 2022, this was 2018, but this is happening around the world. This is something that, as the church, we got to change. Because the world's not going to change it. The third thing, truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did it to me. So what would you do if a world famous leader wanted to come to your house for dinner? What would you do if Pastor Greg called you up and said, hey, can me and Megan come over for dinner? I mean, you're going to clean the house. You're going to, you know, cook a good meal or order something in. You know, if the governor said, hey, can I come and have a meal with you? You know, if whoever, you know, your royalty or superstar wanted to come, you would cook or cater the best meal you could afford. And Jesus is telling us as followers of Christ to treat those whom society rejects, treat them like royalty. Treat them like you would treat me if I was Jesus, if I was with you. And so, like we would treat Jesus if he was in front of us. Our son Micah, he didn't walk to his four. He went through, he's been in physical, occupational, speech therapy, early intervention since he was 9 months old, and he's accomplished a lot more than the doctors, the neurologists told us he would, and a lot of times, no offense against doctors or neurologists or therapists, but they don't give you a lot of hope because they don't want you to get your hopes up. But that's why we put our hope in the Lord, not in doctors, neurologists, and all that kind of stuff. We go to them, you know. Amen. Amen. Nothing wrong with going to a doctor or therapist or getting early intervention services, but our hope is in the Lord. And so over the last, you know, he had services until he graduated high school. Pray for us because our services in Arkansas are awful for adults. Just say that. He's on the waiver list, been on the waiver list for 12 years. So he hasn't had therapy since he graduated high school. But over the last 21 years, we've done everything we could to help him succeed in life. Growing his relationship with God and with others, and as you see, he's got his own personality. He doesn't have the inhibitions you and I have, you know, but he loves God, he loves people, and he loves to meet people. He's a connector, and he's our CIO, our chief inspiration officer for Ability Tree, and he does a great job. But since 2010, we've had the opportunity to come alongside other families like our own, impacted by disability. And we see it as an honor and a privilege to be the hands and feet of Christ and to come alongside others and help them in practical ways. And we get to, you know, a lot of times we just get to serve them practically and just be, you know, the light of Jesus, to be someone that cares for them or is kind to them, encourages them. Oftentimes, you know, we've been through, my wife more than me, but through tons of IEP meetings and with the school district and teachers, and sometimes it's discouraging. And then the neurologists and the doctors, it's discouraging. And so as a church, if we can encourage and come alongside and treat families that are often underserved, overlooked, marginalized, neglected as being valuable, as being as we would treat Jesus, that's life-changing. That's impactful. Number four, by this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers. Jesus gives unconditional love for us. And he demands our unconditional love for each other, even to the point of death. Oftentimes, it doesn't come to that, thank God for us. But verse 17 goes on, gives us some practical ways to love our brothers and sisters in need. It says, if we have the means to help and see someone in need, Jesus expects us to show our love with actions and in truth. So, you know, kingdom builders, if there's a need and you have the means, Jesus says, I want you to give. Now, the amount he wants you to give, that's up to you and God. But it's clear, if you have the means and there's somebody in help, need of help, we are to give. Everybody. You know, we see that in Scripture. We see the woman who gave the two mites, and we see people who gave a lot more. But Jesus expects us to show our love with actions and in truth, not just say, hey, we'll pray for you, or we hope it works out. It's not just Ghana, it's the United States. There's people that are hungry, they're in need of food, of shoes, of support, of respite. It's throughout our own country. And we have the opportunity, we have the joy to help meet those needs. That's awesome. That's amazing. We get to partake in what Jesus is doing by giving. My mom was diagnosed with terminal cancer on January 20th of this year. And over the past several weeks, people from her home church, from our home church, have been helping to take care of her needs. Now, she was a busybody, always doing stuff and working in the yard, cleaning. Her house was always clean, never more than a dish in the sink. And at this point, she's in hospice care. And she knows Jesus, she loves Jesus, but it was beautiful to see our church just serve her, you know, feed her, fill her bird feeders, vacuum her house, do the dishes, change the kitty litter, you know, stuff that matters. They were serving her. It was beautiful to watch them do that. Those are acts of kindness. Those are ways we can help. Last night, Ability Tree Cabin hosted Parents Night Out for 15 kiddos, and it was awesome to see the people that came out, those who were serving, from young people to older people, to give parents a three-hour needed break. You know, so maybe that's something you're like, hey, that sounds cool to me. That's something I can do. You know, I can't give $100 a month, but I can do that. I can give, you know, $5 a month, and I can serve at the Parents Night Out. You may not have material possessions to give away, but we all have time. And I know our time is valuable. That's why it's important how we spend it, because we all have time. When was the last time you took time to invest in someone else or to invest in the kingdom of God? Serving in your church and your community is a great way to practically love others. The last point, five, that there may be no division in the body. That there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Amen. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You know, I've read that passage a lot of times, talking about the different parts of the body and some that, you know, are less honorable. We clothe and different things. And I heard recently someone explain how, you know, some that we don't see, like our stomach, we can't live without. Our liver, we can't live without. You know, and those are valuable for the body of Christ. Our legs, our arms, our body, and all that, we see that and we think, oh, there's somebody who's, you know, attractive or strong or whatever, and we give that more value. But no matter who we are, no matter what we look like, without a stomach, we're not going to live. Without a liver, we're not going to live. Without a heart, we're not going to live. And so we all are individual members of the body of Christ, and that includes people with disabilities. And sometimes you may have a person with a disability who's the heart of the church. And if you don't have them in the body and they're not freely welcome into the body of Christ, then your church is going to be lacking. We've had camps for adults with disabilities for about 12 years. On the video we played, it showed our Ability Camp Pennsylvania, Ability Camp Oklahoma. If you guys are interested in serving as a counselor or in some way with Ability Tree, with the Ability Camp, we'd love to have you come. Our Oklahoma camp isn't too far from here, probably four hours or so. It's a good stateside missions trip. And teenagers, 14 and up, man, we'll get you plugged in and guarantee you it will change your life just as much as it changes the campers' lives. And it's fun. It's like we have a lot of fun. Morning, evening chapel, but then we got go-karts, we got fishing, we've got a cool pool, we got slides. I mean, it's a blast. We do a talent show, which is incredible. But we've seen this passage lived out beautifully every year. The physical and intellectual needs of the campers who come vary, but the care for one another is the same. Like, when they see you, when the campers get dropped off, their parents bring them, and they see the other campers. They see my wife and I and our family. You know, Mike has been there every year with us, and I mean, they get so excited, and they run and hug, and I mean, it's like Christmas morning, you know, family reunion. Encourage one another. You know, they don't always get along. There's arguments and things throughout the week, but not many. We have this one young adult, Doug, who's been coming since he was 18, and he's been coming, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 years. He's pretty much nonverbal. He doesn't like to talk, but he can talk. But he's a big guy. He likes to get on the diving board. He likes the water, but he doesn't like to get in the water sometimes. So he'll walk to the end of the diving board, and there's like a long line, and he bounces at the end, and everybody's like cheering, Dougie, 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 you know. And he usually turns around and gets down and then goes and walks in the zero entry part. But, I mean, everybody's cheering him on, even the lifeguards and the, you know, the people we don't even know. We have another young man who has seizures, and the concern for him when he has a seizure, and typically he had one last year, he didn't have one the year before, and then it was COVID and before that, you know. But just the concern from his camp, from the campers in his cabin, and it's beautiful to see. Encouraging their fellow campers during the talent show. The talent show, man, you laugh, you cry, you bring out your cell phone and you're waving your light, you know, and it's like you got slow songs, you got fast songs, you got drum solos, you got comedy, you know, it's a mix. And there's always a standing ovation for everyone. You know, praying for one another in chapel, that's the beautiful part. We pray with our campers, but they've been praying for one another, laying hands on one another and praying for one another. And that's just awesome to see them pressing into God, because these are people with disabilities that often we think, well, yeah, they just need to be ministered to. But they're doing ministry amongst one another. They're ministering to each other, and they have gifts and they have talents that often they don't get to use in the church because they're not invited to use them. Maybe they don't speak up to use them, or they're told they can't use them sometimes. We've heard that too. Celebrating when someone accepts Christ and gets water baptized, that's been the highlight of camp for the last few years. It's a community pool. It's a beautiful campground in Pennsylvania, Oklahoma. It's the old dry gulch. It's Frontier Cove, New Life Ranch that we use for the week. And we do the baptisms in the pool in both places. The one in Pennsylvania, it's a community pool, and it's in July, so there's a lot of families there, and they stop and they watch, and the lifeguards watch, and everybody claps, and it's incredible. You saw all this on the video again. We had a young man who His parents asked if he could be baptized. He wasn't able to be baptized at his church because he was nonverbal, but he used sign language. And we just went through the sinner's prayer and accepted Christ and wanted to be baptized and publicly declare his faith in Jesus. So we water baptized him, and it was awesome. It was awesome. People with disabilities matter to God. I want to share with you guys real quick in closing just our an update with Ability Tree. So Pastor Addison had mentioned, you know, we've been, God's opening doors nationally. Give it up for Pastor Addison. All right. He usually likes to give it up for the worship team, so you're a part of the worship team, man. Yeah. Micah, what are you doing now? You want to say something? You want to say hi to him? Okay. Yeah, people can see you under your, there you go. Awesome, buddy. Awesome, man. He's hairy. He is pretty hairy, man. He is pretty hairy. Thanks, buddy. Here. That's Pastor Addison. You want to come here? Come down and sit next to your friend before. Almost done, buddy. You're doing so good. Part of autism and some of the other stuff Micah has is impulsivity. So he's 21 years old, and he's strong. And so we just pray that the Holy Spirit would lead him, and sometimes he leads himself. But but I'm used to it, and it's a good illustration of this is life, you know. This is life. But the other thing is, you know, I know Pastor Greg, Pastor Addison's here. Pastor Greg's not, but he loves Pastor Greg. And the way the leadership responds to something like that, to Micah and what he just did, is the way you guys are going to respond. If it's like, sit back down, don't do that, you know, like, that's, you know, that's how we did things years ago. But the way the leadership responds, I mean, Jesus would respond gently and lovingly. I mean, he just wanted to come up and see Pastor Addison, you know. So we tell him not to do that, you know, during inappropriate times, but sometimes he does. And I like when he does it sometimes when I'm preaching, because it's a good illustration. But Mike is a gift from God, and he's the avenue God used to call us to what we're doing. So, but we had some exciting news. We've been, you know, we incorporated in Arkansas in 2010, and since then we've planted 4 branches in other states around the country. We've done ministry in about 22 states around the country over the years, and I've got a couple coaches that have been coaching with me in our Arkansas board. You know, is kind of getting tired of us talking about other places around the country and around the globe. And one of my coaches was like, really, what you really need to, you need to separate Arkansas from the national global. And it made sense. We had never established Ability Tree of Arkansas. We just had Ability Tree. We have Ability Tree Florida, New Jersey, a couple other branches. And so as of this year, as of January, we incorporated Ability Tree of Arkansas as its own incorporation. It comes under our group 501c3. So praise God. Yeah. And so we changed the name of Ability Tree to Ability Tree International. And not that we're going overseas. We do have some partners, and we still want to help resource those overseas. We'll be living in the United States. But our focus is God's opened up doors of opportunity to plant new branches in the country, to plant new Ability Trees in communities, through the church, through our church partnership. You guys are one of our church partners. And so basically you're operating the Ability Tree through Cabot Assembly, which is awesome. And you got the people, you got the resources, and you've got the relationship with your community. So God has really opened doors. And so we're restructuring Ability Tree for more sustainable growth and impact nationwide and eventually globally. We're developing a repeatable template for new Ability Tree branches to launch. And kind of our greatest need right now is developing a platform to scale our ability to coach a growing number of local churches simultaneously. So we're developing master classes and digital courses that churches can take to go through how to welcome people with disabilities. We're going to have classes on there for families of children with disability to know how to better care and that their child is a gift from God and not from the snake. We want to educate churches in disability ministry so they don't have an excuse to not reach out to their to people in their community. And so we've just brought on a new staff member who's a great friend of ours. We've known for a long time, pastor for 21 years, and God kind of moved on their heart a few months ago that there was change coming. And so just as of March 1, they're coming on board with us as chief strategy officer, because Jen and I are visionaries, but we're not strategists. So, but God brings the people you need on the team when you need it. We need to raise about $500,000 this year. So Kingdom Builders matters. So pray for us, because we have big dreams. We have big vision that we believe is from God. And we believe wholeheartedly that people with disabilities matter to God, because they need a relationship with Him. Without that relationship, their eternity is in jeopardy. There's nowhere in Scripture that says people with disabilities have a free ticket to heaven. The Great Commission doesn't omit people with disabilities. And so this morning, you know, just pray about how God would want you to be involved. Maybe it's here locally. Maybe it's nationally or internationally with Ability Tree and giving and praying. You know, pray for God to show you people with disability in your community, in your workplace, in your school. Maybe you think of somebody right now that you know that you've never talked to, you know, at school that has a disability, and you just thought, well, they're different than me and whatever. But remember, the way we treat them, the way we, Jesus says, when you treat someone like that with kindness and love, you're treating me, Jesus, that way. And we'll be held accountable for that. So, you know, young people, old people, don't be afraid to act in kindness and love and be the light of Jesus. So, thank you guys so much. Let me pray with you. Father, we just thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life. Thank you for relationship with you and relationship with others. God, thank you that your body is so diverse, God, and wonderful. We thank you that no matter our abilities, you have a place for us. You welcome us into the body of Christ. Because it's not our ability that does anything or makes any difference, but it's your ability, God. So I just thank you for Cabot, the assembly in Cabot. I thank you for their heart after you. I thank you for their investment into missions around the world. I just pray you continue to use them, God, for your kingdom and your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.